Welcome back to the Creative Ets podcast. I'm joined by Hannah and Brett.
Hey.
This episode was awesome. We'll let Hannah talk about it for a second, but also, are you sad that you missed this episode?
I'm so sad that I missed this episode, but I'm glad that I got to catch it on the back end.
Brett was a good sidekick.
Yeah. He did all right.
He did all right. Not as good, but it was all right. It was
all right. All right. So we had Jason Myers on, who is a professional photographer, freelance creative here in Nashville. And we talked about everything from, well, you guys talked about everything from switching careers, life as a creative freelancer, and working with veterans. If you don't know, Jason Myers is has photographed the likes of Willie Nelson, Mookie Ooh. Betts, Jason Aldean, and he's done a lot of work with Creative Vets, photographing our veterans, which is really awesome.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, he's run the gamut. Like Ric Flair, he got into wrestling, like Ronda Rousey. It's just the list
Muhammad
goes on.
Ali, Barack Obama.
Yeah, he's just such an awesome guy. And he's, again, one of those guys that came and approached us when we were doing stuff. And you'll hear about all that in the podcast. I'm so excited that you're about to listen to this conversation. We'll see you after. Let's jump into it.
Just don't stop believing.
Yeah. I'm here with Jason Myers. I got a fun fact for you, by the way, before we introduce you. You ready for this fact?
Wait, we're starting off with facts?
Yeah. Yep. Okay, a fact from me that I don't think I've ever told you. So I'm from a town, 1,100 people, 22 people in my graduating class. My best friend in high school's name, Jason Myers.
Wait a minute. this is how we've known each other how long now? And this is the first time I'm hearing this?
Yep.
You know who else told me that? And it was Billy Zabka. Do you know who Billy Zabka is?
I don't think so.
Come on. This is the year of the Cobra Kai.
Billy
Zabka was in town for Kevin Carter's Waiting on Wishes event that he has here in Nashville. And Kevin told me he was coming and plays Johnny in Karate Kid, as you know. This is about 5 years ago. And he comes in the back door at Losers and comes in. And I saw him and I immediately went up to him and said, hey, my name is Jason Myers. I'm friends with Kevin. Welcome to town, blah, blah, blah. He goes, man, my best friend from high school's name is Jason Myers. So look at that. This is how we're starting off. Make sure we tag Billy Zabka in this.
Yeah. Yeah, it must be a phenomenal person name because if they're best friends to everybody, especially he may have went to a huge school too. I'm not sure. But my school in the podunk town of Washburn, Illinois. And then, yeah, out of all the people, the minimal amount of people, Jason Myers. And what reminded me that I've never told you was I posted about one of your things that you did for one of our veterans, like the photos, and it said Jason Myers. And his sister wrote, she's like, this makes me laugh so hard that this guy's name is Jason Myers and that you're working with him. I said, I know. I don't think I've ever told Jason that story.
Well, the funny part is no one's ever said that I was their best friend. So we're waiting to get to that point. Yeah. So anybody out there, I'm auctioning that off on eBay.
This is going to turn into a therapy session.
Yeah,
it's not your fault.
Hold on. Let me get my
not your fault.
I'm squeezing a Creative Vets little hand squeezy here. So just for my stress relief.
So we're here with Jason Myers. Now that you have that backstory behind my old best friend and my new best friend.
That's it. We're done.
He's a photographer here in Nashville. He helps a ton of our veterans that we bring in. He actually takes portraits of, donates his time. He actually approached me about this, about working with our veterans, which I thought was awesome, and figured, hey, this guy's probably good company if he's actually coming to us and saying, here's something for free I want to offer just because I love what you're doing and I love sharing these stories. So thank you so much for doing that. But what really got me wasn't just that, it was your story. Because after I heard your story, it wasn't just, I want this guy to continue taking photos of our veterans because this is cool. I was like, I want him to tell these veterans his story, because just like so many veterans coming home who hit this roadblock and they don't know what to do with their lives, there's a transition that they need to probably make. And you made that transition in the most, I guess, it's one of the, actually Brett did it too, which is awesome, but kind of just stopped everything you were doing. So
the most irresponsible way.
Yeah,
possible.
I was trying to find
exactly.
The word. Yeah,
that's
it's irresponsible, but it ended up being a great move,
yeah.
I feel like, for you. But can you go into a little bit about that?
Sure. The backstory is I was in corporate America for 13 years before even really considering doing anything in creative. Like, I was suit and tie. I was, on airplanes every week. A creative career just was never something that was ever considered as an option. I went to high school and graduated in the early 90s and got out of college in the late 90s. And when I was leaving college, the internet was just getting rolling. I mean, just getting started. So the people that had established themselves as creative professionals, photographers and illustrators and designers, I mean, that was a whole curriculum that you had to take. That was a whole different path. And there weren't many of them at the time. It might have, you know, you would see, you know, people who took pictures for sporting teams or Sports Illustrated or for magazines or for advertising campaigns, but you just didn't know, like, how did they get to that point? And it was probably like what's on my path of, you know, you don't realize the path you're on until someone reminds you of it and tells you, like, oh man, I've been doing this a long time and I'm just now getting to this point of having quote unquote success. So I was in healthcare for with a company that placed medical personnel, and I thought that was going to be the career, that was going to be it. I loved what I did. I got to help people, and then as I started opening offices and realizing it wasn't as fulfilling as it once was. The taking care of the people was fun for me, and the growth and seeing other people grow around me was a lot of fun. But then when I realized it was a glass ceiling. I mean, I hate to say that because, you know, you're only as good as your recent numbers and your issues going on within your office or your region, and there was only so much room to go up within that company for me. And so I made a pivot and got into the golf and tennis business. I played sports through college. Sports have always been important to me. I mean, I think if it weren't for sports, I wouldn't be here myself. Like, it kept me on a path. It taught me lessons about teamwork and personal responsibility and working hard and all those things that a lot of kids just don't get. And so I thought, oh man, this is a great opportunity to kind of get into a career, a field that I love. And I managed golf and tennis properties throughout Florida and managed people. I was getting back to what I was doing again, which was just doing a lot of babysitting and a lot of unrealistic expectations. And did that for about 5 years. And December of 2010, I quit my job. I had no plan. I had no, truly no idea what I was going to do. December 21st of 2010. I remember the day vividly. I had just had it with what was going on. And people say a lot of times you don't leave companies, you leave people or you leave managers. And think about anybody that listens to this, like, man, the job was great. I loved my job, but the environment or the people were just a nightmare. And sometimes you're the people, sometimes it's you, you know. I mean, I've been down that road too. So December 21st, 2010, I quit my job. I got on a plane, went to New York over the weekend, and the whole trip I was thinking about, what did I just do? Because I had a mortgage in Florida. It's 2010. The economy was still in shambles, from the housing collapse. But I knew I just couldn't keep doing what I was doing and be happy. So I put in my 2 weeks notice. I came back and finished that out. And then on December 21st, like, that day is when I stopped shaving and started growing a beard. So, like, I remember people like, have you ever had it trimmed off? Nope, my beard has been here since then. And the first part of the shock was, okay, now what do I do? Because the first thought was, go find another job, go find something else that's cool. But those jobs weren't readily available. I mean, a lot of companies were closing up shop. Everybody was struggling. And so I had started taking photographs for fun for the company, the golf and tennis company I was with, just because we had access. We had access to some pretty cool events. I had shot a little bit in college, like, party pics, this is back when it was all film. You would take the pictures and then you would get a wherever you're, you know, if you're in a fraternity or sorority, you'd get a big like poster board that had all the proofs or a bunch of poster boards, and you'd pick which one you want, and then you'd write your name on there, and then a couple weeks later you'd get your photographs. I mean, that was how it worked back then. There were no, you know, nothing was digital. There were no phones. So that was the extent of my really my photography up until say 2007, 2006, 2007. And when I started putting myself out there to the world and letting people know I was available, job offers started to come in. I mean, some pretty cool job offers or opportunities, not necessarily offers, but, you know, hey, here's an opportunity, come interview. And the more I looked at it, the more I realized this is just like what I've been doing for the last 13 years. I'm going to be answering to an unknown entity about things. And I don't know if I'm like, can I buy into this? Can I get 100% behind this? Because I felt like when I was in healthcare, I was 100% in. We used to, I mean, do whatever it took to get our employees who were skilled nurses to the homes of pediatric, pediatric cases. And I mean, if it meant sleeping on a nurse's couch to make sure their kids had somebody there to get that employee to go to take care of this other family, we did that. I mean, that was not an unheard of thing when me and the team that we had built. So that was fulfilling. It was a lot of hours and it was rough, and, you know, but I didn't have that fulfillment until I started. When I started interviewing with folks, and it was like, man, this is going to be the same thing again. Like, am I going to have that opportunity to make a difference, in my own life this time and grow? And, I started putting myself out there and started shooting what everybody else does, like babies and families and things. I mean,
I had that phase.
Oh my gosh. It's like dogs, headshots, you know.
I was second camera for a few weddings and then doing the family thing. No. Just like, oh, this is cool. But you shoot 1,000 shots to edit it down to like 50.
There's a reason why I don't do it. And it's funny because I did a shoot yesterday for an organization, and it was an NFL player and his wife and baby and their dog. And it was like
full circle.
Full circle moment. Yeah. But it was funny because the editor told me, he goes, never shoot kids and never photograph dogs or animals. And he goes, and I asked you to do both in one sitting. I was like, yeah, thanks. I'll do it for you. I truly had no plan. And the scariest part of the whole thing was thinking about leaving the certainty, was thinking about where's my next check going to come from, thinking about how am I going to survive? How am I going to make it? And then once I did it, I've been very blessed, and I'll say that. And I guess I have some talent, but once I put myself out there and I started promoting myself as photographer, my network helped me, even though sometimes they weren't the right jobs. And that still happens. People say, oh man, I'd love for you to come take pictures of our wedding. That one's not me, but I appreciate the fact that you're thinking of me, because without that network and without that support structure, I might have gone right back. I mean, I might have gone right back to it. And the first 6-8 months, I mean, let me say this. The first 10 years of my career, which is coming up here in December, January, you know, there are times where you're like, is this the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Is this going to be the thing? But I always circle back to, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
Knowing what I know.
Well, yeah, the hard choices thing, it's like when – there's a time when I transitioned out of the Marine Corps, and in the state of Illinois, you get your Illinois Veteran Grant and you get the Montgomery GI Bill that pays for your college. So you have two things paying for your college. So if I would have stayed at a community college or a state college, I would actually have been paid to go to school. So school was paid for and I was getting paid to go to school. So it was actually it was almost a job in itself. And so I did that for the two years when I got my associates in Bloomington, Illinois. And I had this super hard choice where I just discovered that art was saving my life. It was teaching me to tell my story in a different way without even talking. And I had the chance to go to the school there, Institute of Chicago, which is a private school, which is not covered by the Illinois Veteran Grant. And it's not covered by the Montgomery GI Bill. It was covered by the post 9/11, but because when I went in, I didn't have the post 9/11. I had the Montgomery GI Bill. So I was in the same headspace where I say, do I go from actually making money, going to school, getting an education, living a comfy life here, and then moving on to a state college so I could have two more years of this. And I was with a girl at the time that was living with me, and I was like, or do I go this other route where I know that my relationship will probably crumble because I'm moving away, I will not have any money, and I'll probably go into debt. But the ultimate thing was, I was like, I think this might save my life. And so that's why I made that choice. But most people, it's hard when you're – it's easy for someone to say they would do it when they're put in that position. Like with you, it's like, oh, no, yeah, Jason has tons of talent. I would have done the same thing if I had his talent. It's like, no, you wouldn't until you get to that position.
Well, my talent wasn't great. Like I
and you had to build on it. Same with me.
I still – I mean, we laugh. I mean, Laurel Higman, who's my assistant, I mean, we polish turds daily. You know, it's like, well, this is what we're going to do today. And okay, did we get something that's usable? And yeah, and that happens a lot in Nashville. And it's not a knock on the younger photographers here in town when I offer up my learned life experience advice.
Jason is very vocal on business education.
Well, yes, that part, yes.
Little posts. I'll see some random thing that
I got
see
off
Jason
Facebook years ago. I mean, I'm still on it just because I go to Facebook Marketplace and buy a bunch of things I don't likely need. But, you know, I see people making just poor decisions when it comes to building themselves and building their brands because they don't realize what they're doing is creating problems for them in the future.
Yeah.
And it becomes and when I try to explain to them, this is a terrible path that you're on. And I sometimes say it that bluntly, people don't like that. I mean, people don't like being told that they're doing something wrong. And they say, well, it's easy for you to say, you know, you have all this, you know, experience. Well, I didn't at one time. I had life experience. That's the difference between myself and a 22-year-old here in Nashville. I was 35 when I started working creatively full time. I had learned how to build a network. I had learned about the cost of doing business. What does it actually cost me to do this? Is this something I can do and monetize? If I just break even, it's a very expensive hobby. I mean, cameras aren't cheap. Equipment isn't cheap. Paying people isn't cheap. So to do it correctly, it's funny, you know, in the studio we're in, you know, we're in a place where there's so much creative happening in this town. And unfortunately, and this is just my own little soapbox, you know, the photography part of the music industry has become so devalued because we're a dime a dozen here in Nashville. And I say that there are probably a handful of folks that are the cream of the crop. And then there are 100 who are next level, who get the job done, who will work for whatever they're told. And they don't have any concept and understanding of copyright and how to survive as a photographer. And they're living large now. When they're 25, you know, and they don't realize, like, well, if this is what you want to do, this is a career thing, you have to start taking it serious. And then there's thousands of people who are working for $30 to do photo shoots and don't realize that they're training the next generation of people who are going to be hiring the next generation of visual creators and don't understand what they're even asking for. So I'm not exactly sure how I went on that tangent other than it just being, you know, my little sore spot. But to go back about, you know, understanding how to do things correctly, I hired a consultant immediately. Well, I say immediately. About 6 months into working, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes, full time as a photographer, I hired a consultant because I knew, holy cow, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know what kind of photographer I want to be. I don't know how to approach clients or who to approach. I didn't know what a art buyer was at an ad agency. No idea what that was. And that's the person a lot of times that makes a decision on who they are going to reach out to ask a photographer to bid on a project. Photo editors, how do I get in touch with a photo editor? Do I go down, you know, look in the masthead and say, who's a photo editor, and send them a letter? You know, where do I find their email address? How do I market to them? So I hired somebody to, one, give me honest feedback about my own work because, you know, there were things I liked and there were things, and of course, your mother, you know, or your parents,
I
your
love
friends.
This
is
photo.
So great. And that's another soapbox. When I see that on Instagram, I'm like, oh my gosh, this photo is so bad, and everybody's telling them it's so good. And I know it's subjective, but I look at things from a little different perspective. It's like, oh my gosh, it's kind of this false sense of security when they really need people to give them unfiltered.
That's what you say. The industry needs you because they're not only devaluing themselves in the moment that they just take a random job, they're devaluing you, and then they're devaluing them in the future.
Well, that's
because
it.
They're setting up they're going to be in your shoes and then get pissed that another kid is doing what they used to do.
Oh yeah,
and they're going to be butthurt about it.
Look, I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. I have no problem with people going and doing what they have to do to make ends meet and to survive. That is absolutely not what I'm saying. I just know that you can't survive doing things a certain way, especially, I hate to say it, in the music industry, because you will quickly realize that it's not an equitable situation. And if I'm the expensive guy in town, then so be it. I mean, I feel like I've earned it. I know what it takes to get a good product. I know what it takes to work with my clients and to understand their needs. I'm not just saying, oh, we have a photo shoot. Oh, cool. It's this amount every day, every time we do it. Or, you know, I always start off with, what are our goals? What are we trying to accomplish? And the problem is a lot of the people who call me have no idea. So it makes it even harder, because if I go through and put them through and ask them the questions, well, what is this? What's just a photo shoot? We need something quick. We got a single coming out. We need to get a single. Cool. What is it? And they really don't know.
I hate that. Like, not knowing the vision.
80 to 90% of the time, they really don't have any concept of what their goals are, other than they need something and they haven't budgeted for it because it kind of, they knew about it. They do all the music and the music is getting all dialed in, but the creative part of it is the one that gets kind of left out in the cold. And they're like, well, I don't,
it's
you
the
know
afterthought.
What? There's
like,
a thousand
oh, crap.
People. We'll get something. We'll just get something up. And it's like, if you're going to invest all of that money and time and talent into something, you know, make sure you budget for the visual, because the visual lasts as long as the song.
Well, I think you're like a lot of people when they see photographers too, they think that, oh, they're going to know what to do. But like you said, and what we do all the time, and I always say, whether it's strategic partnerships or photographers or videos, I know that I'm going to give them what my vision is, because
right.
I don't want them to who am I to think that they know my company better than I do?
Right.
So we just did a commercial for Creative Ets, or a little blip that's going to go up on this event. And I think the producer was actually super pumped that we knew almost shot by shot. Me and Brett actually storyboarded it first.
Right.
We went, we edited ourselves. We're just like, not edited the actual video, but we're editing the storyboard. We said, here's what we want to happen. So when he came in, we were back there be like, hey, what about a shot like this? What about a shot like this? And I think he just felt a sigh of relief because
he's
like, oh, this is awesome, because we do good work, but it's not that portion that we were going to be focusing on. And same with you. It's like, hey, here's what we're trying to like give. How can you best capture that vision?
Right. I'm a creator. I mean, but I'm also not this just always thinking art. I'm just, that's just not me. I'm a technical person who can execute a vision. And if it comes down to it, I can get thrown into environment, look at it, analyze it, and create something. But it truly, it's not my job to define who you or your brand is. It's that you're coming to me because you believe I can execute the vision of your artist, your brand, your editorial shoot, your company vision. And when folks come to me and say, well, what do you think? I mean, I can think that your product's just worthless, but if you've got a cool way to sell it, or if you got a cool way to present it, or you know what I mean, it could be, we could do that. It's just unfortunate that that's the way a lot of things happen in the visual space.
I think people mix the conceptual and the commercial. And I think if you're on the commercial side of it,
well, and the consumer.
Yeah,
because you know, I work more in the commercial space versus the consumer space, and I would consider family photos, animals, couples, weddings, engagements. That's to me, that's consumer space, because that's that's something that truly doesn't have much value to me as a photographer once I get done with it. If I work in the commercial space, well, then that builds into, well, if I do an advertising shoot for XYZ brand that I've worked with, well, they're using it to make money. They're using this to promote their business and to promote their product or to promote their musician. Same thing with music. It's I'm creating a visual representation so that they can then put it out to the world and create and generate revenue and awareness, right? So there's two different things. You know, the person that if I shot families, couples, and babies, that goes and lives on their Instagram, and that goes and lives in their you know, albums and their Facebooks and their whatever. They're not making money. They're not tying that into generating revenue. Whereas in the commercial world, everything I do is about helping other people create awareness, create a brand, generate. I mean, we're in the studio. I mean, there's photographs of a lot of people in here, and every piece of this is done in a commercial way, even though it's somebody shot it at a concert, or, you know, that's that brand. You know, so they're. It's hard to separate yourself from that when you're not used to it, because most consumers, i.e., you know, people, just everyday people, think, but it's just. And I want to. I've been saying this. I'm not. What I'm saying sounds like a negative, but in reality, you know, if I can vocalize, you know, the importance of treating visual creators the same way as any other creator, as any other. Entity. I mean, you don't go through, you don't hire a plumber and question what they tell you it's going to take to fix your broken thing. You get a second opinion. Great. And if they're apples to apples, like, we can fix it and we're good and we're timely and that's the price. Well, that's the price. You don't get to say, well, I got a guy and he'll charge me a third of that. And then you cross your fingers while, like, well, is it going to work next year when the pipes freeze? So, and that's, that's kind of the analogy that we go through. And it's, you know, looking back, I have no regrets about picking this career, but there are things that are challenging.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's an education thing. It's an education thing.
Let's talk a little bit about the earlier, the commercial to conceptual. I was just going to say that I feel like brands should know that they're a brand, and that if you're commercial, hiring a commercial photographer, you should know what you're going into. Whether it's conceptual is on the artist based, where it's, mm-hmm. hey, I'm going to create a piece, so I'm coming up with all the ideas.
Right.
And so you started, because I think mainly based off the project you've been doing with us, is going more that conceptual route, even though you're taking portraits of the veterans. I was kind of – well, with us, we try to teach veterans how to tell their story through photography. And we have an assignment that we give all our veterans that have been extremely successful in getting them kind of outside of their shell to think differently about themselves and the situation they're in. But I was wondering, on your end, moving more into this – well, I'm going to say you're moving more into it, because you're obviously still doing the commercial stuff. But how does it feel doing this kind of for-yourself art opposed to, like, obviously the commercial art?
Working with creative vets and the veterans that come to the studio, or if I go to, you know, the other locations we've photographed veterans, has truly been the highlight of my career as far as personal work, it without a doubt. You know, when we originally talked, I remember us sitting out on the deck at Losers talking about some other things. And when we first were getting to know each other, Richard, we were talking about, like, I don't even remember what it was at the time, but I was trying to find a way, like, how can I?
You kept asking. You kept saying every time I saw you again, because I was recruiting songwriters,
right.
You'd be like, hey, what can we do together? And again, right. I never want to ask for something until I know exactly what it is,
right?
Because that's a strategic partnership.
And the more we've thought about it, you know, or for me, the fulfillment of this is typically, and this is how it goes, internet world or podcast world. I'll get a call from Richard or Brett, or like the day before,
yep.
or a couple days, and go, hey, are you around this day so we can bring some veterans by? And most of the time it's been a positive, and we've been able to do it. I don't know who they are. I don't know how many people are coming. I don't know what their stories are. And all I know is I have people come into the studio and I photograph them. And the fun part for me is, and I say fun, it's a little hectic sometimes on my part, because when folks come by, I don't know who they are. I don't know what they look like. I don't know what their personalities will be. I don't know if they even want to be there. I'm sure some people don't want to be there. Some people are, and especially the veterans that come by, you know, not everybody's, you know, outgoing and, ready to kind of put themselves in front of a camera. So the fun part for me, though, is trying to create something sort of new every time they come by. And I say sort of new in a very scaled down sense. I'm not doing crazy elaborate lighting setups. Sometimes I have, but for the most part, it's just trying to get a real moment from my subjects in the space and the setups and the time that we have. Because again, on the other side is I usually have like 6 minutes because they're always going to the airport for whatever reason. So for me, the creative part of it, as compressed and minimal as it sounds, is truly the fun part, because I just go, well, let's see what happens. And there's nobody telling me, I want this look. I want it to look like this. There's no creative direction. And in that sense, it's fun. On the other side, if this were a commissioned project, I would hope, I would want someone to say, we have this idea. Can we expound upon it? Because they might have that vision and going, I really like this. And that's what I ask folks to do in my commercial and commission space. It's like, well, what are you thinking? Send me some visuals and then we can do that. We can make you look cool.
For a little bit, I felt like you had a sixth sense, like you were in the session, because I still remember.
So he's telling me I've lost it.
That,
is what he's
no, that first, we had a FEMA veteran. She wrote a song called This Is the New Me, and you didn't even hear it. And then you shot it in a way that her shadow was cast on the wall as like a different person almost. And you didn't hear the song, and then I told you that afterwards. And then same with Zach's song. We're talking about how like getting calls at the bar and all this stuff about other friends who were dying. And then you shot it in a way that had like red and blue lights. It looked like he was sitting at a countertop of a bar. And so that's what I mean by it almost felt like you had a sixth sense of who was coming, or once they got there, they just kind of pushed that onto you. Because you were legitimately shooting towards like what they wrote about the day prior.
You know, and to be honest, I do have a sixth sense. So for anybody out there that wants to hire me, I mean, I know exactly what you're thinking and can do that for you. It's serendipitous sometimes, right? I mean, if you would have asked me 10 years ago today, where are we in October? October of
almost November, like right. Super close.
So 10 years ago today that I'd be sitting in a studio talking to you guys about the things we've been able to do over the last 3 or 4 years and the relationship that we've had for the last 5, 6 years, I can't – and this all goes back to taking the leap of faith and not being scared of the unknowns of the future, because nobody knows what the future is going to hold. You might know that you're going to be safe in a job or safe doing this one thing, but truly you're not safe. You're if there's something you want to do creatively, if there's something you want to do entrepreneurially, there's something you want to do, relationship, do it. Go for it.
Well, especially if it's going to help you too.
Because exactly.
That's what we do with the veterans is leaning in. They get so comfortable in their routines. Some of them get so comfortable in their jobs and they say the same things you were. Well, where will the check come from? But I knew that art and music was going to save my life. And so I knew I had to take that leap, even though I knew I was going to go through financial hardships and relationship hardships. I still was like, well, at the end I come out, I'm very forward thinking. I'm saying I'll suffer for another year if I know in 10 years I'm going to be in a way better place because of that decision I made.
Well, nobody knows, right? Nobody knows anything. You know, I was talking to some people the other day about like the stock market and the thing, you know, and nobody knows. They can say they know, but they don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're just trying to make you feel comfortable.
They're trying to make you feel comfortable and safe, right? And guaranteed returns on your money, and right. It's life. Nothing is. It comes down to how much risk are you willing to take. And if you're a veteran, or if you were drafted or enlisted in the military, you've taken the biggest risk. You put your life in someone else's hands, and you have no idea whether. or first responders, you know, people that are signing up to do dangerous things, and you don't even know if that will ever happen. And, you know, life is about the chances you take. You know, there are people that play it safe their whole lives, and then they're on their deathbed, and what do? They have regret, right? They regret the things that they didn't try, or the girl or the guy they didn't ask out, or the job or the opportunity that they didn't take when they thought they could have, or the, you know, being an entrepreneur during a time when it's like, you know, you always see that, well, if, you know, the secretaries at Microsoft are billionaires, you know, it's like, they took a chance on working for a company versus working for another company. And it's all about, you know, life choices, personal responsibility, and taking risks. And I go back to you saying, I don't know where my next check's coming from. You know, I mean, there is that unknown in working as a freelancer. And I know a couple of photographers who really could not, they had a family. And I'm not knocking anybody's choices. They had a family to take care of, and they did not like the up and down swings of being a freelance, you know, creative. And I'm not saying that's the only way to be a creative. It just, they're, you know, working as an in-house creative, it is great, and you may have some great opportunities, but you are probably losing out on a lot of other opportunities. You're losing out on, you know, and I say this about, and this is, you know, it's one of the reasons why I don't go out on the road with artists. I will fill in every once in a while, but it is a cost prohibitive measure for me, even though I have nothing maybe booked for that week, to go on the road full time with an artist or be an in-house creative with a label or with a publishing group, or, you know, which is common here in Nashville, because the folks that are making the decisions to hire in-house creatives look at it as, oh, we'll get this person really cheap, and they'll do whatever we want them to do, and that person loves it because they got a guaranteed income or a salary, which is oftentimes not equitable considering the millions and millions and millions of dollars that often their artists or songwriters are generating for themselves and their publisher and their management company and their, you know. So they look at it and they go, man, we'll get a young photographer and we'll pay them $30,000, $25,000 a year, and they'll go on the road and they'll get to do some really fun things, and they'll get all this content. We get to use it. Meanwhile, XYZ artist, manager, publisher, you know, they're the ones benefiting.
Yeah.
And that photographer is young and eager and does not understand. And sometimes they're not that young. Sometimes they're older, but they look at that security and they don't understand what happens and the money that they're leaving on the table by doing it their way. And that's the hardest conversation for me to have with folks about understanding the business side of it, because there is a path for that person, and that might be great for a 20-something year person, but 20 years from now, and that artist becomes the biggest act in the world, or that advertising shoot that you shot. And this, I mean, one of my first advertising shoot was with Mariano Rivera, who, you know, obviously if you follow baseball, is one of the greatest closers in baseball, you know, history, the only unanimous Hall of Famer ever. And at the time, the deal was for the image to run in the Yankees yearbook, and it was a JBL headphone shoot. So I licensed it that way. That was the only place that they were able to use it. And that's the difference between, and this is maybe a whole other podcast about creative licensing for creatives, or for intellectual property creators. And I was in New York because when I would go to New York for meetings or to do portfolio reviews, I would always stop by the magazine stand in Grand Central Station. Like, that was always my fun thing, because most of the time I would go there, I'd have, between all the magazines that I would shoot for, I'd always have at least some image in a magazine somewhere. And if I'm there with other photographers, like for a portfolio review, like we'd all look through and we're all looking through our own pictures on it. And it's kind of a neat feeling, because I truly don't get to see a lot of my images in print. And I was looking through something, I don't know, and I saw that ad in another publication. I was like, hold up, full page ad and another, I got to call my art buyer and be like, what happened here? Well, apparently client JPL, and this is what happens when folks really don't understand licensing or copyright. They had the finished ad because the client, who my client was the ad agency, had provided that to them so that they could use it for in-house or whatever. But they paid to have it run in another publication and then in a few other publications. So once I found that out, I had to go back to my art buyer and say, look, this is not what we agreed to. I need to be compensated for it running in another publication. And the clients a lot of times don't understand the value of that. Songwriters understandably want to be paid every time their music is
exactly cut, that's right? What I say, if you add it onto another stations or you move up the charts, more people hear you, more money you get,
right?
Makes sense.
Artists and unfortunately, and this is not my knock, I love my songwriter friends and I love my artist friends and I love my manager friends and I love my publisher friends and I love my label friends, but unfortunately, because we collectively as photographers have said yes so many times to really terrible deals and buyouts and work for hire agreements, because it's been beaten down that if you don't say yes, we'll just go on to the next person. And that's unfortunately that, and they can do that, but it's not like we're asking for a lot on the backside, but I went back and I made, it kept happening and they kept coming back to me saying, hey, we want to license it for another thing. And I had already offered them like, look, why don't we just do a 5-year unlimited use agreement for X amount of dollars, and they kept telling me no. But then every 6 months they'd come back to me and want it. So it cost them more.
Over time.
Trying to explain it to them because it's like insurance, right? You pay for it now and then you look back, how much have I paid in health insurance or whatever? And I've never used it. How homeowners insurance, like you start adding it up, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm paying a lot of money and I've never had to file a claim. You know, so they look at it that way and go, well, no, we'll just piecemeal it until we and it ends up costing them more. And I try to explain to the people that hire me, like, look, no, let's not just do one look, because I still have to have the same tools. I still have to have the same experience. It may take me less time, and time's only one of those factors. But, if I don't have I don't know where I was going there. I see you.
Well, how are you getting a lot of these jobs? Is photography just a business of connections? Because I know you just said you took pictures of Mariano Rivera. I know you've done Muhammad Ali, Obama, which I want you to tell that story too. But is it just like the music industry, like connections is everything?
Relationships, everything.
I think it's almost in every kind of creative field almost is like, you could be just as good a filmmaker as someone else, but I think if you don't put yourself in a place to meet those people that are going to elevate you, same in the photography world, same in the songwriting world.
And there's no method to it, right? I mean, I look, and this town is very small, and sure, it hurts my feelings when I see artists use other creatives that I have great relationships with, and you just wonder, did I do something wrong? Like, I mean, there's the uncertainty that people think, it's all shiny and bright and fuzzy. I can't, every week, I'm and poor Laurel has to listen to me gripe about it. But
now everyone gets to. Though.
Yeah. This is a very tame session. But it hurts, right? Because you're like, you've built a relationship, you've shared dinners, you've helped that person, and then they hire someone else to do the quote unquote important shoot, right? You offer your services at no cost or reduced cost when they're young and eager and have no other. And then they start to blow up. And, folks like some of the people I can see in this room on the wall. And you're just like, what did I miss? And then, but you don't realize is that when they're young, everyone's telling them, we've got someone that's awesome. And guess what? That's another relationship that person's forged, that they trust that person to pull something off that they, if they don't know you, I mean, this happened to me on a shoot a year or so ago where the publisher was also kind of the label, but then the artist had signed through an imprint out of New York, which was a big label. And we had a date on the books. We had agreed on a rate, which was really a friend rate I didn't even really know the artist. I knew of him, but I was doing it because of my contact and relationship at the publisher. And they, the week before, they said, man, I feel terrible. The people pulling the strings up in New York, they don't know you, they've never worked with you, and they've worked with this other person who, in my opinion, was not the right choice for this artist, just the way they light and the way they shoot. And that don't get me wrong, that person is a great photographer in the space that they are normally in, which was a completely different genre of music and people and shooting. So and for this artist, I felt like it was right in my wheelhouse. Now, there are times where I'm like, that's not me. Like, I don't really work that way. If that's something you want me to do, I can probably do it. And I feel like as and I was posting on my Instagram just this week, I've been kind of on a tear. And part of what I want people to understand about me is I feel I'm pretty good at a lot of different things. Whereas some people are just really good in their lane and they know it. And when they get outside of the lane, it shows. And with this situation, the label pulled the strings up in New York and said, sorry,
yeah,
we have a relationship with this person. Man. We've hired them before. They've delivered on time. We know who they are.
When I first got to town with CreativeVets, that was the first advice I ever got was, you can have the best product in the world, you have the best nonprofit in the world, you can be the best songwriter in the world, but unless someone knows you and they vouch for you, they say, oh yeah, no, CreativeVets is good. Like, I've worked with them.
Yeah.
That's the moment that the doors open up. So I take that mentality very seriously. So connections I build in this city are usually so that now I can be like, oh, Jason, you have a really good relationship with Sony or with Big Machine or with whoever. I was like, will you just say, hey, I know this guy and he's okay?
Yeah.
And then that's
validation.
Yeah.
And that's what happens for us in my world. And it's, you know, when I see, on my website, there's a page and it needs to be updated on, I put select clients because I can't fit everybody up there, but it's the big names. It's the brands and the ad agencies and the labels and the people that I've worked with over the years. And when people see that, they go, oh, well, this guy must know what he's doing because someone has trusted them with paying him, you know, whereas sometimes I see younger photographers and they say published photographer. Well, what does that mean? I know immediately.
My yearbook.
I know immediately that means that no one has hired them yet to work for that publication. And it happens a lot here in this town because when we shoot things for a label or an artist and then their publicist gets the images and gets it pitched in RollingStone.com or Billboard.com, well, that photographer's jumping over backwards going, oh, my gosh, I'm published in Billboard. I'm published in – did they cut you a check? Because they didn't hire you. You know,
there reminds me of the photo I took of you at the Battle of the Bands. That went on front page of what was it?
The newspaper. The Pantograph and Bloomington.
I'm going back. I'm going to go back after them.
You know what I mean? Well, if they use it without your, without giving
you credit.
Yeah,
should have gotten paid. But that unfortunately, and that's again. I could do a master class on the misconceptions of working now that I've done it for a decade, and doing it a little later in life than. And learning how the Digital Media Rights Act and understanding copyright and how to register your images. I guarantee you nobody in this town other than a handful of people are registering their photos as copyrights.
Yeah.
I doubt that the labels who demand buyouts and work for hires are registering images as through the U.S. Copyright Office. I mean, that's a great question.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I do is education. A lot of what I hate to say, it's like most of the time, it's just like, here we go again.
Yeah.
But I don't mind doing it if people will listen and people will understand.
That's the thing. People have to listen to it. But I want to bring you back another time because there's obviously, because I want to almost do, we'll probably do a whole nother podcast with you just stories based because I know that Obama story is really funny.
It's really not that, there's nothing funny about that story.
There's super funny about
it. It's interesting though.
The build up to it about like everything. So we won't get into it. So maybe people will hold on for the next time we bring you on so we can just talk stories behind some relationships that you have in town or some of those maybe artist road trips you've taken and just talk about more of the life of the photographer, and then also just bringing back for some more education because I think this is the most important thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's one of those things. My mom, I remember, probably still to this day when I was growing up, she always said, your mouth's going to get you in trouble. But, you know, I'm a vocal person when it comes to protecting creators and protecting photographers and protecting illustrators and designers and, you know, and if And if me speaking up and just saying, look, it just has to be more equitable. We have to be on the same the person hiring the creator has to understand that what they're providing keeps them employed. I mean, in a small sense, right? I mean, if you're a photo editor, you wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for the photographers you hired. If you're a creative director at a label, and I say creative director on the visual, on the creative, not the song, not on songs, you wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for the people that you're hiring. So you have to go to bat for those people. And yeah. You have to take care of them, and you have to make sure that, you know, the underlying, because I guarantee you, of the people that do this full time as a career, this is the mentality of the people who have been doing it for a little while or for a long time. They just won't say anything.
Yeah.
And it's not a complaint session. It's an education system saying, look, because the next person that gets hired in that decision maker situation goes, well, this is just the way we always do it. I can't tell you, every contract I get from a label, it's a boilerplate label from the 1980s that has not been looked at or changed. But that's the way they've been doing it, so that's the way they keep doing it. And somebody changed it through the years, and they keep passing along. It'll say all slides, negatives, whatever. It's like, yeah, we're in 2020, y'all. Like this, I don't. There's folks that are shooting film, but you know, I would love to see the photographer who shoots on film these days turning all their negatives and slides over to the label. I don't know if that happens, but they have it in the contract. So it truly is, and it's not, I hope this isn't sounded like a complaining session, but if we don't get better at understanding that it is like it's a true partnership between whoever's hiring you as a creative and the client that you are photographing for, the subject, like that all has to be. We need the artists, and we need the songwriters, and we need the labels, and we need everybody to have our backs just like we have theirs, and the support we give to them. So
that's awesome.
Can you, just to go out, just kind of recapping, anybody contemplating a career change or these veterans coming back from war, they have all these skills for war. And now it's like, well, what now?
Yeah.
Like it's, you know, the fear of the unknown. Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
any sending word advice for them?
Yeah, I mean, reach out to people you admire. It's not hard to track somebody down these days. You know, get on their Instagram, DM them, send them an email. If you're a veteran or if you're anybody, and you have questions, reach out to the person, to the groups, to the entities that you admire. Reach out to Creative Vets. They'll point you in the right direction. Reach out to me. Reach out to other creators, other artists, other musicians, other people, because you'd be surprised. I built my early career blindly emailing and sending messages and letters to people who I admired, and said, "Hey, do you? I'm a portrait photographer. Would you mind if I took your portrait? We can, you know, you can use it for, you know, XYZ, you know, personal use, you know, whatever. But I'd just love to meet you. I admire what you do. Or if that's another creator, saying, man, the old let's get coffee sometimes gets a little tiring because I can only have so much coffee, as you can tell. I'll just keep yapping. But, be specific in the ask too." You know, I think that's a big question.
Yeah. Oh, that's very direct. Yeah, never go in there not knowing
like,
what
hey,
to
I'd
ask.
Love to pick even your brain.
Even if it's
about
one thing.
What?
Even you when know? It's like I had this thing with a DSP where I went in there thinking, like, what can I do as a small nonprofit for this DSP? Maybe I'll say that maybe we can give them exclusive rights to our music because veteran music is going to be popular, might pull in more streamers to them. But the great thing about them was they're like, hey, we want this to be a part of your mission. So we want it to open to everyone. So let's not do an exclusive. I was like, that's awesome, but I still went in there with a mindset that I have to give them something, whether I knew they were going to take it or not. I wanted to be prepared, so that's I think that's really important.
Yeah, and I think it's a specific ask. You know, some people will go, "What camera did you use?" Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
you know, like I really want to do like a video of the things you don't say to photographers because I know there's things
out
there
That'd
where
be
you
great.
Shouldn't because Oh my gosh, it's you know,
do a TikTok.
Oh man,
of it.
Your camera takes nice pictures. It's like, oh, your mouth makes nice compliments. Thank you very much. I mean, I mean, again, I haven't done it as long as some. I haven't done it at the level as others. But I'm so blessed that I get to do what I do for a living and meet people like you and the veterans I truly enjoy that creatively as much as I've done anything in my life. I feel like it's my way of giving back. And as a creator, you know, or as anybody, as a philanthropist, and I think that's one thing. It's like when you ask creators to do things for free or hey, we don't have a budget for this, you're taking away their ability to be philanthropic with their talents. You guys never asked me to do this. Like, this was me coming and saying, I really want to figure out a way we can do this because it would be fulfilling to me, beneficial to you, and hopefully at the end of the day, rewarding to the people that come by the studio. And I hope I've been able to accomplish that.
You definitely have. Yeah. And we appreciate you so much for doing that and giving your time for that and for today.
I drove around the block 11 times
trying to find a parking spot.
And I knew what I was getting into. And yeah, I still found a spot.
Well, thank you again for being here.
Thank you guys for having me.
What a great conversation that was with Jason Myers.
Yeah, that's a lot of good truths in there, huh?
Yeah, was there anything? There wasn't much in there that he talked about. I honestly thought that there'd be a ton of fact-checking at the end of this where it's like, what's ISO? Where's Aperture? But he really didn't go into those details. He went more about experience.
He didn't, which was awesome. But maybe you guys will get a chance to talk about that when he comes on next. I know he's got some stories to share with us.
Yeah, I mean, he is so passionate about what he does in this episode. It may seem like he's kind of... It's like a tough love into the situation that he got himself, like into commercial photography here in Nashville, especially such a grind. So many opportunities that I don't know, some up and coming people might miss because they do the wrong things. And he's kind of like a Papa photographer. He's just like, this is what you need to do.
He's got the wisdom.
Yeah, honestly, there's so many ways to do it, and there are those people that just come here and kind of do it the way he's talking about and still become successful. But I think this episode is super important to anybody going into the field because he just respects his field. I feel like, you know, photography could be one of those things. Everyone has a phone. Everyone can be a photographer. But when you're getting to the level that he's at, you need to appreciate your own craft in a way that nobody else does. And I think that's what leads you to the top. So if you're a veteran, you're listening to this episode, we wanted to put this up because it's not just, you know, we talk a lot about transition your warrior brand to your artist brand, and we teach conceptual art forms and getting into it for the first time. But you may want to take that next step and go commercial or make a living out of it, which photography is the one thing that does both. You can use it for healing, and then you could transition into commercial. And so I feel like if you've listened to this, you have a way better understanding of what it looks like. But I also don't want it to deter you from jumping in because photography is, again, a dual thing. It could save your life, and it could pay the bills too. So that's all we have with Jason Myers, unless you guys have anything to add.
Yeah, if you want to follow up, if you're interested in looking at some of Jason's work, you can catch him on Facebook at Myers Quality Photography, on Instagram at Jason Myers Photo, and on his website, jasonmyersphoto.com.
Oh my gosh, can't believe I almost forgot that. That's another thing. If you're out there and you're using another photographer's photo, just like Jason says, you better tag them, you better give them credit for it, or they're coming after you. Awesome. Well, great having you guys here again today, and I'm excited for everyone to hear the episode next week, or in 2 weeks, or in a month, or whenever we want to do it. Okay, see you, signing off. Bye.